I'll make it. That didn't work like I wanted it to. Yeah, that's high enough. I'm better. Yeah. I got them all cut. How's that, Charlie? Everybody hear me all right? All right. I have the month of November, which gives me 5 Sundays. And so I saw an outline. Actually, it wasn't even an outline. It was just a list of some thoughts out of Galatians. There were 6 of them, one for each chapter, but we're going to do 5. And so we will begin this morning with those out of Galatians chapter 1. These topics that we're going to be covering they're a little deeper. We should have to think a little bit. They're more of a self-evaluation, maybe help us to realize some things that about ourselves. And so I'm going to be asking some questions, and some of our time needs to be spent sharing some of our thoughts about these questions. This will become a lot more evident the further we go. And so I'm depending on some of your feedback to give us some bullet points to talk about. The first question that I wrote down here is, what motivates you? There's a lot of things in our lives that motivate us, but what motivates you? Yeah, if it's getting close to mealtime, hunger would be one of those things.
We have a lot of things that impact our motivation. We don't have the same motivation for enthusiasm.
Right, right. So maybe I should go ahead and slip into the second question to give us a little more focused view. Where do you get your self-worth? That's the second one. Now, you've heard me talk about the fact that sometimes we're hard, or at least I am hard on myself, maybe harder than other people are on me, but where do we get our self-worth? And with that in mind, what motivates us? Okay? What motivates us to do the things that we do? And where do we think we get our self-worth from? Okay, go ahead.
That as well as I want to do it.
Okay, that's what motivates you? One of the things?
And then being able to help somebody, I think, gives me self-worth.
Self-worth, okay. Viva? Okay.
I think he will do that if we're open to that.
Okay. Anybody else? Sue?
I do a lot of volunteering, and I think because God gave me the ability to do the things that I do, that's what motivates me.
Okay, okay.
Love for others.
Okay. I hear a lot of motivation. Where do you get your self-worth, Billy? Okay.
Well, I think our self-worth comes from doing the things God gives us to do.
What is self-worth, though? I mean, this is the way I see it. But this is what makes me feel good about myself. That's where I get my self-worth. This is where I feel like I'm
worth something.
Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, and sometimes that's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. But we have to love ourselves to be able to love others and help others. If we don't love ourselves, then we can't commit ourselves to helping others and commit to God's love and what He wants us to do. And Him waking us up every morning and being thankful gives me worth to.
Yeah. Okay.
And Arlen, what are you good at? Do you have talents or abilities that you use for others? That's part of who you are. That's worth in my mind. And it also causes you to fulfill the destiny or whatever role that you have. Who put you here to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Not just take care of the dishes or your family, but to share with the big family. It's we're here as a group because we depend on each other for things, and we live together in a place where help is available. Somebody knows something about this, they'll help you with that. And it's a giving, always giving of whatever talent God blessed you with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the synagogue, yeah.
It was a center of life.
Uh-huh.
And then this church, for all of us, is the center.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to, I think it was Sue, we were talking about that when we come here, we come, sometimes we bring support to somebody, but sometimes we need support, and we
Mm-hmm.
That's why God knew that, and that's why He told us to gather.
Yeah. Anyone else? Where do you get your motivation, or where do you get your self-worth? We've heard several say that, talking about your talents. If you have a specific talent, that may be where you get some of your self-worth, right? And our motives, or what motivates us, what causes us to do the things that we do, sometimes that's connected, but sometimes it's not. And what I want to look at here first is Galatians chapter 1. This is the first lesson out of Galatians. It's taken from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, and we're going to talk the rest of the class about this idea. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this. Now, I want you to, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. This was written, the letter to the Galatians was written in AD 49. Just remember that number, AD 49. Verse 10 says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Ding, 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 ding. Now you kind of see where I was, why I had to ask you those questions first. Paul said, I'm not trying to win. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. He says, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. So, Paul has changed from being a persecutor of the church pretty early on in the church to someone who says, I'm not out here to please men. I don't need men's approval. He says God's approval is so much more important to him than the approval of men. Now, do you think, did Paul ever get approval of men? I can think of one blaring example. Blaring or glaring?
Glaring.
No, now he, you know, we see plenty of disapproval. But there were some who says, I was baptized by, you know, I am of Paul, and others of I am of Apollos. So some approve, he got some approval of men, but that wasn't what he was, that's not what he was trying to get. He saw the necessity of having God's approval and how much more important that was than getting the approval of men. Okay? So we can use this basic idea to kind of guide us through the rest of our study. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians now. I kind of slurred that, didn't I? 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Because this topic, the thing that we're kind of skating around here, is mentioned several times. There's actually more than I thought about this topic in Scripture, and in fact, I probably haven't touched on all of them. You may remember some that I didn't think of. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, once again Paul says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to get you to win you with flattery, as you well know, and God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. So here's the second instance of Paul going, you know what? I'm about getting God's approval, not men's. Okay? He seems really stalwart in that idea, doesn't he? And he has to point it out to more than one group of people. The purpose, he said, is to please God and not people. Okay, I got another question for you. Everybody paying attention? What attitude should we have about what people think? Dun, 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 dun. That takes a little thought, doesn't it? What attitude should we have about what people think?
Of the place.
Okay, Paul wasn't seeking approval of men, but he knew he was doing the right thing, right? He was right there in verse 4, he says, "For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news," entrusted with the gospel. I mean, his mission was teaching the gospel.
And that's part of the deal. Your responsibility is to be the right person all the time,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what people think of you.
But people can think many different ways about us. So what attitude should we have about what they think? Should you be one of those people that says, "I just don't care, I could care less what people think"?
No, that's wrong.
Okay, why is that wrong? Huh?
We need to be positive.
True.
Because if we don't be positive, then we're sinking to the level of what is not good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We got to have that positive attitude because then if we stoop, then we're not doing what Christ wants us to do.
Okay.
And if you don't have some concern about what people think of you, then you're not maybe fulfilling the role model thing very well. You have to.
Okay. Well, there can be a fine line there, though, can't there? You know? Richard, did you act like you want to say something.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing here, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Teresa hears me say quite often, "I don't care."
Right.
"I don't care." You know, I say that a lot because it usually pertains to what other people think about what we might be doing,
mm-hmm.
why we might be perceived. And as long as we're doing what we think is right, if we're doing what God wants us to do, it could be family, it could be church, it could be whatever. I don't care what other people think. And it was very enlightening to me, or however you, whatever word you want to use there. Years ago, when I finally decided that I was going to quit worrying about what other people think about what I do, the way I dress, what I drive, whatever it might
mm-hmm.
be,
mm-hmm.
to just be yourself and let God use you where you're at for who you are, and just do that to the best of your ability. Because there's always going to be somebody telling you, "Well, you are
right."
You are, and I just get, it wears me out.
Yeah, I understand. Right. Right.
I don't care. I try to be a people pleaser. You can't succeed there.
Right.
And I don't mean to the extent of not pleasing God. I'm not trying to mean that.
Right.
I'm just meaning I like people to be happy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know.
Well, God says blessed are the people.
That's a big task. It is.
But God, on the other hand, God said blessed are the peacemakers. In other words, We generally, if your attitude is, "I want people to be happy," you know, there's just so much you can do, but that doesn't keep you from doing that. Here's the thing that a lot of people, you know, or you'll hear people say, "I really just don't care what people think at all. I could care less," you know, and that's dangerous. Here's the idea. Don't tell Beth. What if I walked down the street hand in hand, hugged up with some woman that wasn't my wife? Huh?
Word would spread like wildfire.
So should I care what people think?
Yes.
In that
instant. Even if it had your sister.
Right. In that instance, yes. Okay, and that goes back, somebody had, I don't know, remember who it was, had a comment about that earlier, but in that instance, yes. We need to put forth that good example, right? But we shouldn't care what people think to the point that we're trying to please people instead of God. Because like Richard pointed out, there's going to be some people that try to get you to do certain things or be certain things. That wouldn't really please God, okay?
The motivation needs to be
Right. We talked about what attitude should we have about what people think. What attitude, man, I can't speak this morning. What attitude should we have about what God thinks? That's paramount, isn't it? And I want us to, we're going to talk about this more next week, but I want you to think about, we've read a couple of instances here about what Paul said, that I'm looking for the approval of God, not men. Look where Paul started. And look how much he has learned. Now, let's see, we're going to, okay. Matthew, well, I'm not going to Matthew yet, but I'm going to point out, I told you I would, I'm going to point out these things. Let's see.
You know, Aaron, to start out with, we have to have a desire to please God.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't have that desire, it's like Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
And so who did Christ try to please? He tried to please God the Father.
So we have to have that desire before we even begin to do anything. That's what a lot of people lack, is the desire.
They haven't been taught that, have they? But Paul learned that. And I don't mean to be throwing monkey wrenches in here, but when did we say Galatians was written? 49. The next one we're going to is the book of John. When was that written? 90. Then we're going to Matthew. When was that written? 60 to 65. Okay, here's what I wanted to point out. The Gospels were all written after Paul's writings. Chronologically. So when we look at what Paul wrote, in the back of our minds, we need to be constantly asking, Paul, where did he get that? Paul learned these truths. We know they're truths because later on, even Luke, when he says, I have examined everything closely and here's what I found out. Things we trust the Gospels, don't we? Well, the Gospels are saying the same thing that Paul's saying, and yet Paul wrote these things much earlier than the Gospels. It's just something to think about. It's kind of interesting.
Because he got it straight from God.
I'm telling you, if we knew what happened on the road to Damascus, okay, can't waste more time. John chapter 12. What's that?
I thought you said Matthew.
Well, I did. We're going there in a little bit. I just want to point that out about those two books, those two dates. Let's go to John 12 first. Beginning in verse 39. But the people couldn't believe. For as Isaiah also said, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this, but because he saw the future and spoke of the Messiah's glory. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. That's scary, isn't it? They loved human praise. They loved the Pharisees to come by and pat them on the back more than they wanted God to praise them and what they were doing. John says here, don't covet the praise of men. Don't trade the praise of men, or the, excuse me, don't trade the praise of God for the praise of men. Let's look now in Matthew 25, also having to do with this. And 25, beginning in verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to his to give account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Okay. Don't trade the praise of God for the praise of men. God wants us to use what we have or what he has given us. We talked a lot early on about our talents, right? He wants us to use that to the best of our abilities. We all know what he said to that one servant who didn't use what the master gave him. We want to be those who can stand up proudly and say, "God, I took what you gave me and I did my best." We want to praise God, okay? These people there in John 12 were willing to trade the praise of God for the praise of men. They wanted to look good, didn't they? They cared more about their reputation than they did about what God thought. We've got to be really wary of that. Man, I'm getting behind. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm not going to read a bunch of this, but you will recognize it. Matthew chapter 6. I'm just going to skip through here. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, of course, and he says, "When you give to someone in need, don't do it like the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity." Who are they trying to gain the respect and praise from? People, okay? He says, "I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they will ever get." He goes on the same thing, talking about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray publicly on the street corners. He goes, "I tell you what, this is all the reward they will ever get." He goes on and down and says the same thing when he says, "When you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites. So people will admire them for their fasting." He said, "This is the only reward they will ever get." We need to learn to compare the reward that we will get if we seek the praise of people or our fellow man, and the reward we will get if we seek to praise God or seek God's praise, okay? And if we can learn to see that, there will no longer be any choice. We may change the way we live and the way, we may change what motivates us, okay? Which was our first question. Okay, I got just a few minutes. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So, when we, according to Jesus, in Matthew 6, when we try to impress people and we try to gain our, we ask about your self-worth. If we try to get our self-worth from other people, or we try to get our motivations, our motives are driven by what other people think about us, where are we laying up our treasures? We're laying them up right here on earth. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, that's all the reward you're going to get. Just somebody else patting you on the back and going, attaboy, that's all you're going to get. We need to store up our treasures in heaven because we should be motivated to please God. We should be motivated and get our self-worth out of quietly doing what we know we should be doing that will please God. There's people in this congregation, several, who go about doing the things that they know God wants them to do without ever saying a word to anybody about it. I have an app on my phone that I got when we got our cameras put in. And it allows me to just open the app and I can see what's going on at the building. If somebody's trying to break in, or if it would amaze you how many times I see these people doing what they know God wants them to do, and you would never know it. They don't say a word about it. So we need to be pleasing God and not men. Last thing I just want to tell you. Next week, week two, we'll be in Galatians chapter 2. And the topic, and you can be thinking about this this coming week, and maybe it'll prepare you to make some comments in class. The topic will be, you are not defined by your past. You are not defined by your past. You are dismissed.